Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Good morning again, everybody. If this is your first time coming to The Rocks Church, you are a very special guest. Our slogan around here is "No perfect people allowed." We believe there's nobody perfect, and we gather here because we believe we are in need of God's grace, God's forgiveness, and thank God that grace, that forgiveness has been made available to us 2,000 years ago through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. So no matter who you are, what you've done, you come to the right place this morning. Maybe you're not even a Christian. It doesn't matter. We want you to journey along with us because we believe we have a God who loves us just as we are, but He loves us too much to leave us the way we are. So we're going to grow together with God's help, by His grace, to become more and more like Him every day of our life. We want to extend our welcome also to our friends worldwide joining us from YouTube and podcast. Thanks for joining in. Well, as you have heard, we are starting a brand new series today. We're calling Happily Ever After. Some of the ladies here are thinking, finally, a relationship series. And some of the guys are thinking, no, I was just about to like this guy. And well, you know, when it comes to marriage, let me tell you, ladies, when it comes to relationship, the way we guys view marriage is about the same you ladies view a car, you see? We think we don't want to work on it, we just want it to work, all right? I know some of you ladies don't really care about, you know, checking up on the engine and everything. In fact, you wonder, like, why is my boyfriend, why is my husband always checking up on the car? As far as you're concerned, as long as it's not broken down on the road, on the side of the road, do you really need to check it? That's your question, right, ladies? Guess what? When it comes to marriage, when it comes to relationship, that's exactly how we guys think. As long as it's not broken down on the side of the road, do we really need to talk about relationship? Do we really need to talk about marriage? And sorry, guys, the answer is yes, we do. Anything worth doing is anything worth talking about it. So we're going to talk about this for 4 weeks in this series that we call Happily Ever After. Obviously, if you're a married couple, you want to lean in and pay attention. But if you are single, like John has said, you know, you're in for a treat. You know why? Because for 4 weeks, you get to just sit back, relax, and listen, and you don't have to do anything. You can watch the married couple as they discuss and fight over some of the issues that we're going to talk about. And at the same time, though, it is good because someday, even though you are single right now, you do want to be married, don't you? How many of you want to be single for the rest of your life? Let me pray for you. don't pray for me. That's the one prayer I don't want. So you will get married someday, and whatever that you're going to be hearing in the next 3 weeks as we discuss this is going to be very, very useful for you. I wish I had heard about this when I was still single. So before we begin, I'd like to lead us in a word of prayer one more time, and we ask God to lead our time together. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, thank you so much for leading us to this place. God, we know that we're not here by coincidence. So Father, we pray. I pray right now. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Amen. Okay. How many of you have seen a movie called Juno? This movie came out a few years ago. It's a great movie. It's a movie about this teenage girl who gets pregnant, and she has to decide whether to abort the baby or to keep the baby. She lives with her divorced dad, and the dad in the movie is wonderful. He's an amazing dad. And Juno finally decides to keep the baby, but plans to give the baby up for adoption. So she finally meets the couple, and then she finds out later on that this couple that is about to adopt her baby is also having some kind of relationship issue. So she looks at her relationship, you know, it's a disaster. She looks at her dad's relationship, it was a disaster. And in the middle, three-quarter way into the movie, she asks her dad this question. She has this very tender conversation with her dad. And she asks what I think is a very profound question. is a question all of us adults need to be asking, if you haven't asked this question already, because it's a very philosophical question, and it is a very important question for us to ask and to know what the answer to. So I'm going to show you a very, very short video clip from this movie, Juno, and see if you can catch what the question is. Maybe you don't express it exactly the same way Juno does, but it's still an important question for us to ask as we begin this series.
You're looking a little morose, honey. What's eating you?
Just like losing my faith with humanity.
Wow, can you narrow that down for me?
I just wonder if, like, two people can stay together for good.
You mean like couples?
Yeah, like people in love.
Are you having boy trouble? Because I gotta be honest, I don't really much approve of you dating in your condition. That's kind of messed up.
No, Dad, it's not.
I mean, that's pretty skanky. Isn't that what you girls call it? Skanky? Skeevy?
Please stop.
Tore up from the floor up?
That's not what it's about. I need to know that it's possible that two people can stay happy together forever.
Did you catch that? Juno is saying to her dad, Dad, as I look around, it didn't really work out for you and Mom. As I look around the relationships around me, everything is a disaster. Dad, I just need to know that it is possible for two people to stay happy together forever. You know what's interesting about this question? No matter what culture says, no matter what your experience, maybe in your previous marriage, maybe in your current marriage, the answer to this question for most people is yes. It's possible. Not only that, most of you believe not only it is possible, but you believe it is possible for you. If not in your current relationship, it's possible for you in your future relationship. So the question is, what's the problem, right? What's wrong? If many people, majority of people believe that two people, it is possible for two people to stay happily married together forever, the question is, what's the problem? Why is the divorce rate so high? Why aren't many many people who are married happy? That's the question that we need to know. What's the problem? And this is how I want to begin this series. You see, all of us, when it comes to relationships, all right, we all have this invisible box. This invisible box that we call a box of hopes, dreams, and desires, all right? I just call it a box of desires here. But it is an invisible box, but I make it visible for you so that you know what I'm talking about. See, all of us comes into a relationship with a set of hopes, dreams, and desires. If you are single and you're not dating anybody, maybe the content of this box is a bit vague, is a bit undefined right now. But as you enter into a relationship, these will get more defined because you have hopes, dreams, and expectations. All right. If you are engaged, I hope you've talked about what is inside your box. And I hope you have heard what is inside your fiance's box. If you are married, you better know what is inside your spouse's box. All right. Some of you do, some of you don't, which is part of the problem to begin with. But all of us have hopes, dreams, and desires. For example, when it comes to money, all right. All of you have a set of hopes, dreams, and desires when it comes to money. Maybe you think, well, we gotta have a lot of money because I want to live a comfortable life, which is nothing wrong, all right? Maybe we need to have two income because we need to have a house, we need to have a holiday, and so on. So, but some of you, maybe you think, nah, money is not important for me in relationship. Love will keep us alive. So, doesn't matter. single income. I just want you to be a stay-at-home mom. I just want you to be a stay-at-home dad because, you know, we need to take care of the children, so money is not important to us. When it comes to chores, we have some sort of idea what we want to do, who gets to do what, right? Maybe you come from a home where your mom cooks all the time and you hope for the same thing. You hope that your wife will do all the cooking. You hope that your future husband will be as handy as your dad and can fix stuff, all right? So you have this hope, and again, there's nothing wrong with that. When it comes to where to live, you have a hope, you have a dream about the kind of house you want to live in. Maybe you hope that you will own a house someday, not just rent. How big the house, how small the house, you have your own hope and dream and desire when it comes to a house. How about the car that you drive? You know, I want to drive a sports car. And maybe others think, no, it has to be practical. We need to have a minivan because that's practical. Talk about minivan, because I come from a small family. I'm an only child. We have to have kids. And it's not enough for us to just have one child. We need to have more, all right? If we have two girls, that means we need to continue and keep going and make sure we have a boy. And I like pets, you know, not a big deal, but still it's important. You know, I like dogs, I like cats, so which is it? You want to have a dog, you want to have a cat, or you want to have both? And how about this? Every guy, this is good, right? Every guy that I know, every man has this hope and dream and desire of what his wife will not wear at night. And the girls are thinking, oh, he loves me the way I am. He just wants me to be comfortable. No, he doesn't, ladies. And then we have, you know, we're not naive. We know that in any relationship, you're bound to have a fight, right? So you have your idea how to solve, you know, issues and problems in relationship. You know, maybe you come from an Italian family where you just scream, you just shout it out, you just put it out there on the table. You have to be truthful all the time, you know, be honest with one another. And then others of you think, no, that's a bad idea. You don't want to hurt other people's feelings. You can't be totally honest with each other. You can't tell everything, even though they're true, but everything you say must be true. That way you don't hurt each other's feelings. Oh, how about spending your holiday? Oh, I wish that we can visit my mom, my parents once a month or once a year or whatever. You have your own hopes, dreams, and desires when it comes to relationships, all right? And there are many, many reasons. There are many, many ways you can form these desires, all right? Things that impact our desires include things that you read, things that you see, things that you hear, all right? From other couples, from the books that you read, from the magazines that you read, you know, from social media. Oh, these couples that I see, they always go on holidays at least like 3 times a year. I want that. They live in this house. I want that kind of house. So you form your desires based on what you see, what you hear. But mostly, for the most part, let me tell you, you form your hopes, dreams, and desires based on what you have experience, especially what you have experienced in your own home, because you all want to avoid something or recreate something, right? You want to avoid something or you want to recreate something. I don't want to be like my mom. I don't want my husband to be like my dad. You want to avoid that. Or maybe you want to recreate something. I want my husband to be like my dad, always there for me. I want my wife to be exactly like my mom because of this reason and that reason. But no matter how you form your hopes, dreams, and desires, there's one thing that you have in common, all right? In the middle of it all is what? Is me. Because at the end of the day, it is my hopes. It is my desires. It is my dreams. Not only that, when you come into marriage, guess what? You don't come with one box of this, you come with two boxes, right? You come with your own box, your husband, your wife comes with their own box. Here's where the problem begins, okay? Somewhere along the way, we don't know when, we don't know how, all right? What started as legitimate desires turn into what we call expectations, all right? As I said, we don't know where or when it happened. Maybe you walk down the aisle with this box and you walk out with this box. Maybe it happened at the altar. Maybe it happened 6 months into your marriage. But somewhere along the way, what started as legitimate desires turned into expectations. And you might be asking, what's the problem with that? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with having expectations about my husband, about my wife? Is it wrong to expect my husband to work hard and provide for me? Is that wrong? Is it wrong for me to expect my wife to be there for me, to love me, to care for me? See, it's not wrong, but here's the problem. When you turn legitimate desires, hopes, and dreams into expectations, you change totally. You change totally the dynamic of your relationship, and you change it not for good. Let me tell you that. I'm going to explain to you in a minute. But here's the issue, right? When you come with two boxes of this, you're bound to have your expectations to collide, all right? Because it's you against you. So you have two sets of I or me, and then you're bound to have collision. There's no way, right? This is how the dynamic of the relationship changed. Suddenly, I'm expected to perform. Suddenly, I'm under pressure to deliver, and you can't always deliver. So when two expectations collide, you can do one of five things, all right? I'm going to tell you the first four. You have to come back next week for number five, okay? So when two expectations, when expectations collide, you do one of these five things. The first thing is the most extreme one, is that you leave, right? You say to yourself, I didn't sign up for this. This is too hard. There's no way I can meet all of his expectation. There's no way I can meet all of her expectation. This is what I didn't have this in mind when I enter into this relationship. So you decided to leave. But guess what you do when you leave? You bring this box with you into your next relationship, right? And the whole cycle just begins again. That's the first thing you do. The second thing you do is that you win. See, in every relationship, there's always a stronger individual in every relationship who powers up and have the win, all right? Maybe it's you, maybe it's your husband or your wife, but the second thing you do when expectations collide is you win. And you just do whatever you can in order to win, right? Most people want to win. You coerce, you convince, you convict, you control. Man, you know, I understand about your box, but I come with my box too. And let me tell you, your box is a bad box. Let me tell you why my box is a better box, you know? So you find your way, you scheme your way into convincing, convicting, coercing the other party to let you win. And then you think, oh, okay, this is good. Life is good. Marriage is good. Finally, he's coming around. Finally, he's beginning to understand. But what you don't realize is that it's only good for you, right? Because the third option is, when expectations collide, is you conform, right? This is the opposite of winning. And for a while, this works. For a while, this works. It works for the winning party, obviously, but it also works for the conforming party, because suddenly you bring the temperature of the relationship down. Suddenly you bring the tension in the relationship down. Oh, as long as he's happy, as long as she's happy, that's all that matters for now, bro. So I will conform, okay? But as I said, it only works for a little while. When you hit your mid-30s, when you hit your early 40s, suddenly the bubble burst, and you say to yourself, I can't take this anymore. So you go to option one and you leave. See, what you don't understand is this, all right? this is probably worth coming to church for. It is easy for me to be me, but it's not easy for me to be you. That's a relationship advice for you. That's worth coming to church for. I don't see anybody writing it down. So obvious, right? It's easy for me to be me. If you are a neat person, let me tell you, it's easy for you to be neat, right? And you don't understand why everybody else is so messy. Why can't you see this mess? Well, because you are brought up that way. You can see mess. It's easy for you to be neat, but it's not easy for other people to be as neat as you. It's easy for you to be you, right? But it's not easy for me to be you. This week, I was talking to Mary. Mary takes care of our finance in church. And I said, Mary, because I'm telling you, when it comes to receipts and all the stuff, you know, like, I'm the worst. I talked to Mary. I told Mary, Mary, I don't understand how you can do what you do. And then Mary turned around and said, I don't understand how you do what you do. Because, let me tell you, it is easy for me to be me, but it's not easy for me to be you. So here's how it works, guys, all right? And also, ladies. Next time you want to blast at your husband, next time you want to be angry with your wife for not meeting your expectation, remember this. It's easy for you to be you. But it's not easy for your husband or for your wife to be like you, all right? So that's number three. And number four, this is the most common option that people take, is you compromise. You compromise, all right? For the sake of the marriage, you compromise. By the way, for the sake of marriage, it's actually such a bad, it sounds good, but it's such a bad thing, but I'm going to talk about that next time. So you compromise. A lot of people find this a great solution. This is a win for most people. This is the objective for most married couple. As long as we compromise, we're good. Okay? So in a compromising situation, this is what you do. You do your end of the bargain, and I keep my end of the bargain. You do what you're supposed to do, and I do what I'm supposed to do. And as long as we both do what we're supposed to do, everything will be peaceful. Everything will be all right. All right? So the name of the game in a relationship where you compromise is scorekeeping. That's the name of the game. You know, I keep score, I keep tab to make sure you do what you do, and you can make sure I do what I do, and as long as we both do what we do, everything is okay, which brings me to my earlier problem that I showed you, and that is this. When you turn legitimate desires into expectations, you change the dynamic of your relationship. How do you change it? Because marriage relationship is meant to be a what? A covenant. You know what a covenant is? A covenant is not the same as a contract, okay? When you come into marriage, what do you say at the altar? For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness or in health. I don't understand these vows, you know? In sickness or in health. Now, I can't stay with you anymore. You're too healthy, you know? Like, you're too rich. You're too rich. I have to leave you. Man, we got to change that. Just came to my mind. A lot of things came to my mind that are not useful. But anyway, right? When you come into a marriage relationship, you say those things because it's a covenant. It's not up to the performance of the other party that keeps you in a marriage, right? You say, no, this is unconditional. It doesn't matter if you're healthy or sick. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter. But when you push all your hopes, dreams, and desires into expectations, guess what? You create a debt-debtor relationship. Suddenly, the dynamic of your relationship changes. All right? Because this is expectation. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what expectation is. You're supposed to do it. You're a husband. Everyone knows a husband should always. Everyone knows a wife should never, you know. Expectation, that's what you're supposed to do. And guess what? We rarely express gratitude for what we've come to expect. Okay? We rarely express gratitude for what we've come to expect. How many of you have ever received a letter from your bank thanking you for paying your mortgage on time? How many of you have ever received a letter from the ATO saying, well done, because you pay your taxes on time? I've been with ANZ Bank for many, many years now. It's a great bank, but never once have I received a letter from the ANZ Bank thanking me. Dear Mr. Indrajaya, we just want to express our deepest gratitude for making sure that you always pay your mortgage on time. We are so touched that you are so considerate, we almost wanted to cry. So I want you, your lovely wife Hulda, and your awesome son Jaden to know that we love you. Please find enclosed a gift certificate for $500 because we don't know what Jaden likes. You know? I've never in my life received that letter. In fact, the only time that I receive a letter, the only time that you will receive a letter is when you do what? When you miss a payment, that's right. Right? Because that's what happens in a contractual relationship. You don't get praised for meeting your obligation, but you get sent a letter, you get a personalized phone call when you don't meet their expectation. Am I right? Nobody praises you for meeting your obligation. But, you know, if you're having trouble talking to your bank and all that, just miss payment. They're going to call you. Don't worry. Okay? And for a lot of us, that's what our marriage feels like, you know? It feels like, you know, it's like expectation, this pressure. You never get praised for doing the right things, right? But every single time you do something wrong, it's always pointed out at you. You receive that personalized touch, and it's not a good touch, let me tell you, okay? Because in a debtor relationship, I'm not going to thank you. I'm not going to thank you for doing what's expected of you, but I'm going to ask you when you don't, right? Let me tell you, this is the fastest way for you to kill romance. This is the fastest way for you to kill trust. This is the fastest way for you to not experience unconditional love in your relationship, all right? For example, let me give you an example. If I desire a clean house, okay? If I desire an orderly house, I have two options. Either I leave my desire in this box and leave my, you know, my wants, my dream of having a nice, clean, orderly house in this box, or I can choose to move it in the expectation box. What happens if I leave my hope, my desire for a clean, orderly house in this box, in the box of hopes, dreams, desires? When I come home to a clean house, guess what I will likely to do? I will thank my wife, right? I'll be more likely to be grateful. Oh, I realize Hulda is busy. I mean, cleaning up the house is both of our responsibilities, but because Hulda knows that I like a clean house so much, she went out of her way to make sure when I come home, the house is clean every single time. Guess what? When I don't expect it, suddenly I'm grateful for it, right? I mean, your wife doesn't have to pack your lunch every day. Maybe for the past 7 years, your wife has been packing your lunch. Have you ever thanked her? Maybe in your mind, you're thinking, well, that's what a wife's supposed to do. Prepare lunch for the husband. But try something different. Try something new. Thank her next time she prepares you lunch. Like, hey, you know, I know you've been doing it for the past 7 years, but from now on, I don't expect it anymore. But when you do, I just want to let you know that I'm grateful for it. You see how the dynamic of the relationship changed, right? When you stop putting things in the expectation box and you just keep things in the desire box, everything changes. But what happens if I move my desire to have a clean, orderly house in this box? I will come home and I will say to myself, well, that's expected. Hulda just meets her expectation. My expectation is right here, and Hulda performs, as far as I'm concerned, she's up to zero, right? She's just meeting my expectation. So I'm not going to thank her for what she's supposed to do, right? In fact, if she fails to do it the way I like it, like maybe 99% of everything is right and perfect, and I notice something like, oh, Hulda, come here. See this? Bring the magnifying glass. Yeah, come here. Let me show you. You messed up on this one. Jaden, come. Daddy told you so many times. I said, yes, Dad. Okay, Dad. In that kind of relationship, there's no trust, right? There's no love. There's no gratitude. That's not how you relate to one another in a relationship. Let me tell you, that debtor relationship eliminates the possibility of unconditional love. Yeah. Right? But if I don't expect it, man, I see Hulda cleaning the house as an expression of love toward me. Right? Wow, she must have loved me. I know she's so busy. I know, you know, she has teaching to do and all that, but she still makes it a point to wash the laundry, to do this. Wow, Hulda must have loved me so much. Right? When you keep things in the desire box, you give yourself an opportunity to experience unconditional love. Here's what I'm trying to say. I owe you kills, I love you. Right? I owe you kills, I love you. When you expect people to perform for you all the time, that's where romance starts to die in your relationship. So the question is, what should we do with our hopes, dreams, and desires? Should we just throw them out the window? No. Here's some things that you can do. Number one, keep your hopes, desires, dreams in the desire box. All right? Don't forget this one. Keep them all in this box. Guess what? Because you have been created by God, all right? This is important. A lot of your hopes, dreams, and desires are put in your heart by God because they are godly desires, right? You are made in the image of God. It is not wrong to desire to be respected. It is not wrong to desire to be cherished, to experience companionship, to be loved, to be appreciated. There's nothing wrong with that. So don't throw your desires out the window. What you do is keep your desires in the desire box. All right? Give yourself a chance, an opportunity to experience true unconditional love from your spouse. Number two, you just need to throw away some of the unrealistic desires. I guess with social media and everything, some of the desires that we bring into our marriage, they're just not realistic. There's no such thing as a perfect wife. There is such a thing as a perfect husband, but he's taken by Hulda. Gone. Thank you, babe. But some of the desires are just unrealistic. You just have to throw them away. Yeah? And number three, this is important. This is how we summarize the whole point that we're trying to say. Ask yourself, what does your partner owe you? Really? What does your partner owe you? In a covenantal marriage relationship, what does your partner owe you? Let me tell you, the answer to this question determines everything in your relationship. And the answer is nothing. Your partner owes you nothing. In fact, if you want to be brave, you'll say it this way. I owe my partner everything, but my partner owes me nothing. Do you dare to say that? I owe my partner everything, but my partner owes me nothing. Because that is what a covenantal relationship is. Listen to what Jesus has to say. John 13, verse 34. John was writing this. Maybe he tells John, write this. This is important. You know, there's only one thing these guys need to remember. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another. The old command, do unto others as you would like others do unto you. That's old. That's the golden rule. This is the platinum rule. This is even better. I want you to love one another as I have loved you. That's a very important phrase right there. As I have loved you. Jesus came to show what a covenantal love really is. All right? In fact, I believe God created marriage to show us how he wants to relate to us. That's the reason why God created marriage. God says, I want you to enter into this covenantal relationship because that's how I want to relate with you. I love you unconditionally. And then Paul draws out the same principle from what Jesus says. And Paul says it this way. Walk in the way of love just as, that's that phrase again, just as Christ has loved us and gave himself up for us. Right? So in a covenantal relationship, your spouse doesn't owe you anything, but you owe your spouse everything. In fact, Andy Stanley says it this way, and it's brilliant. Those who live happily ever after, they learn to have submission competition. I like that. Learn to have submission competition. You know, try to out-submit one another. Hey, don't worry about my desire. I'm here to, as much as possible, to fulfill your desire. You know, I owe you everything because I love you, but you don't owe me nothing. And finally, I want to leave you with this thought. As much as it is legitimate for you to keep all your desires here in this box, guess what? There's no one in the world. I don't know who you put this box of desires on. That burden must have been really heavy. There's not one person in this world who can fulfill all your hopes, dreams, and desires perfectly. And this is the good news. This is the grace of God. Jesus is the only one who can ultimately fulfill all your hopes, dreams, and desires. In fact, if you're not a Christian here this morning, let me tell you, God wants to relate with you, as we will see next week in Ephesians chapter 5, just like a groom-bride kind of relationship. God wants to be there for you. God loves you unconditionally. As you are, he doesn't expect anything from you. What he wants is for you to just relate to him and love him. Jesus is ultimately the only one that can fulfill all your hopes, dreams, and desires. It's not fair for you to put this burden on your wife or on your husband. All right? Give them to Jesus. He is more than happy to fulfill your hopes, dreams, and desires beyond your wildest dream. Okay? Come back next week as we explore this idea further. You know, next week, one of the greatest relationship statements in any literature, anywhere, is found in the New Testament. If you think that we never talk about the Bible because of today, you're wrong. Come back next week and you'll find out the greatest relationship statement in any literature, anywhere, is found in the New Testament. Bring some friends and let's build our relationship together.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.